Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. And if you have missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today we're going to interview Jason Daly, the director of Beware, a gritty horror film that has received many awards and been shown around the country. It's also distributed through Blockbuster, Amazon.com, On Demand, etc. And I think we have Jason on the line. Let me just check here.
Hello, Rachel. Can
Jason.
You hear me?
Yes, I
Hi,
can
how
hear
are
you now. Good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, well, let's
Sunday.
Start off. Oh, good. Well, let's just start off telling those that don't know a little bit about the plot of your movie, Beware.
The plot, let's see. It's very, it's got a basic kind of plot like a lot of the slasher movies do. We didn't try to reinvent the wheel or anything, but at the same time, we tried to give enough story to where the viewer would be interested in following what was going on, you know, but it fits the same format of most slashers. You know, you got a bunch of kids going into a town, they run into some trouble, and then they wind up getting killed, you know. But there's more to it than that, but we stick to the basic format, and we let the other stuff play in throughout the movie, the other little things in the story play throughout the movie to keep the viewer interested, you know.
Well, it involves an urban legend that kind of becomes a reality, and that's, like you said, something that's been done before. How do you keep something like that fresh?
Well, I think what we tried to do is we tried to make the backstory fresh, something original that hasn't, you know, something we came up with actually years ago, and just loved the whole backstory. So we just elaborated on that. But I think more importantly, to keep the viewer interested, it's more about the pacing of the film, and little things come in throughout the film that sometimes people say, well, it's not like your average slasher. You know, you start to see little, you know, things come throughout the story. And I think, you know, from what a lot of people have told us, they're very surprised with what we've done on such a low budget. And, you know, even with the story, the last review we had, the girl had mentioned how on such a low budget, it was amazing to have all the characters in the movie. And actually, you actually cared about all of them. You know, it wasn't like they were just there. They actually, you know, meant something to the plot. And, you know, that's really what we tried to do, is not dumb down the audience. A lot of these movies just think that a horror fan just wants blood and guts, and it's not true. You need to have more in there to make the blood and guts work. And that,
what
know,
other
that's
elements?
What we tried.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
what other elements do you think make a horror film work?
Yeah, just like I said, it's like you have to pay attention more to not just the blood and guts, that's not what the viewer is just out there for. The audience is smarter than people give them credit, and you got to fill in, you know, the blanks and in the movie to make people want to follow it, and that's what we tried to do. And it seems like people have been what's the word I'm looking for? Like kind of praising us for that, you know, like, you know, thanks for not just making this movie where, you know, a couple people go in the woods and they just die and that's it. You know, there's a little bit more to it. We basically tried to make a movie like we would want to see, you know, like we enjoy watching on the weekends. You know, it's fun, it's unrealistic, but at the same time, it's entertaining, you know. And that's what we tried to do. We tried to make, you know, especially when you're dealing with a low budget, you know, it doesn't matter the budget. You have to try to entertain for an hour and a half. And that's where the challenge comes in. And that's what we tried to do.
How did you come up with this idea originally?
Back in, I think it was the late 90s, my partner on the original Beware, his name is Jared DePasquale. He's actually a stuntman in this movie also. I had wrote the whole backstory and the premise of the movie, and then together we wrote the script, and we did it for no budget back then. Basically, I think we spent whatever a computer cost at the time. And the story, the backstory has, you know, changed very little. I mean, the whole thing is still there, but it's changed over the course of the years to evolve to what it is today. But we just came up for wanting to do wanting to make a low budget movie, and we just started with, okay, let's make a slasher movie, and we went from there, and it just grew and grew and grew, and then the characters came out of it, and just, you know, just grew from wanting to make a low budget movie, and that's where it came from. You know, and here
and
we
how
are,
did you find
you
your How did you find your cast for this?
For this one, we did auditions. We sent out, you know, ads on Craigslist and stuff like that. And a lot of the actors came from Miami to audition. Me and Sean, my partner now, Sean Copenhaver, we held the auditions at the office that was producing the movie. And we found basically our whole cast in, I think it was 3 auditions. We pretty much got everybody, and you know, we got really lucky with the people we found because they were so dedicated. You know, there was a few stragglers that, you know, think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think they want to make movies, and then when they realize that it's a ton of work, you know, they start to fade away. But we were lucky enough that, 99% of our cast and crew were on the page of, you know, let's do a movie and, you know, let's get this done. And we're really, you know, really proud to be a part of the team.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the location for this.
We filmed in Jupiter, Florida. We were lucky enough to, a friend of mine and my family, her name was Angie Viner, she had a house that she was renting out at the time, and she was in between tenants. So we were lucky enough, she let us use the house, and it was the best location we could even possibly got. You know, we got so lucky on the location. If you've seen the movie, it's like straight out of a horror movie. So we were very, very lucky to have that house for our shooting time. I think we shot for like 30 days total, but that was over a couple of month period, because we shot like 16 days straight. And then we took some time off. I think we took time off for Thanksgiving. And then, you know, then we went back for another week, and then we took time off for Christmas, and then we went back for like another week, something like that. But we were lucky enough to be able to get into the house. Then after we were done, some people started renting the house so that we couldn't get pickup shots back up in the house. So we had to do a couple of pickup shots in different areas, which we made look like we were in the same area.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we were really lucky with that, because looking for a location is probably one of the hardest things in filmmaking, especially a house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's not very many people out there that'll let you just use a house, yeah.
And did you stay there at the house?
Yeah, the whole cast and crew, there was, you know, a few people, if we were close to home, those who lived in Jupiter drove home, but a lot of them lived in Miami, so they would just, you know, spend the night. If they were filming the next day, they'd just spend the night. You know, if they weren't filming the next day, they usually went home. But, yeah, a lot of them stayed at the house, you know, and they were sleeping on, you know, air mattresses and stuff like that.
Wow. What did you shoot on?
We shot on the Red camera.
Okay. How was that?
It was an experience. It was a learning experience. We wanted to shoot on it because, one, it was available to us, and there was no way we were going to turn it down. And two, it was a great learning experience just to see how it works, because it's one of the best cameras out there. And so it was great to see how it worked. And we had like an original Red camera, if any technical guys know what that is, but it was like one of the first ones made. So we were dealing with some issues like overheating and stuff like that we got so used to that we would, the cameraman was so good at, like, the camera's about to start overheating, so we would grab ice packs and we'd put ice packs on the camera. It's crazy, you know, it sounds weird, but we had to do it a lot, you know. We basically, our workflow started to get based on whether the camera was going to overheat or not. So we knew a scene was going to take so long because we would have to turn the camera off for 15 minutes and then start back up, 15 minutes later. So it was frustrating, but, we just dealt with the problem and, worked it into the workflow and just kept going,
How did you pull off some of the special effects, like the person in your trailer that falls off the balcony, that type of thing?
That was our stunt team. That was Christopher Hadley was the stunt coordinator, and he had a really good crew with him. And he was working for Extreme Stunts at the time, and he's been a friend of mine for years. So the thing that was great about knowing Chris and being a friend with him for years is I got to talk to him about a lot of the stuff we wanted to do before we went to go film. So we worked things out, and then as locations changed and stuff like that, we'd have to change the stunt right on the spot. And we even had to change that particular stunt with the girl falling off the balcony. It was literally changed the hours before we shot it because she was supposed to get thrown off, and the ceiling was very low, and she could not, every time she went to go flip off, her feet would hit the top of the ceiling. We really couldn't figure it out. And, me and Chris just, figured out a way to change the stunt and make it, not just change the stunt, but change the reason for the stunt. We said, okay, well, then she's running away and she has to escape as opposed to getting grabbed and thrown. So it worked out good. But back to the stunts, Chris Hadley and his team were amazing. Jared DePasquale was part of the team too. And they're just unbelievable. Like, when we planned to do a stunt, they were there way before they were supposed to. They were getting stuff ready, and we would start shooting at the exact time we planned to shoot, and we were done within a couple hours of, every stunt we had to do. So they made it super simple because of them being so professional. It was it made it super simple. And it's all about preparation.
The big thing with this is that you got great distribution on this film. Tell me about the process, how you got distribution, and I know a lot of people are not familiar with how much paperwork is involved, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, from the beginning, because we had no connections as far as that's concerned. So it's not like we went in having a connection. We basically did the movie not knowing how we were going to get distribution. So from our point of view, the way that it happened was we made the trailer before the movie was even finished. It was the first thing we did. So the trailer we put online, and it attracted, I guess the word is called a broker or your sales rep. And we were contacted by, I'd say, a minimum of five of those guys. It might have been more. It might have been more, but we had already chosen one. So we just started telling them, thanks for contacting us. We'll keep you, we'll keep you in our contacts and let you know next time we do a movie. But we chose to go with one. And basically what those guys do is they take your movie to sell it to foreign countries. They also, they take it to like Cannes Film Festival, and Cannes Film Festival is where all the distributors are to pick up the movie. So that's what these guys do. They're the guys that do that for you, because obviously most of us can't afford to fly out to France and, and they go to the Berlin Film Festival. That's our two major sales came from, I think, Cannes and Berlin. So it was good that they, that they have these guys out there to do that. So that they got us the American distribution, and we're still working on the foreign. We have a few foreign things going now, but we're still waiting on more to come through. But that's basically how that works is, you find somebody who sells it for you. And nowadays, the question is, do you really need those guys? And that's for filmmakers to decide on their own, it can be a little frustrating when if you don't meet the right person, those guys are very much salesmen and will tell you what you want to hear. And it's amazing because I try to sometimes share my info with other filmmakers and they still want to believe that, oh, no, these guys are great. No, you know, you guys have to understand that it's a business, and you know, you're a title. That's all you are to them. You know, you're a title. They put you in their library and they go out and sell you, and that's it. You know, if you can find somebody that can really pay attention to you and really cares about your product, then you know, then you're ahead of the game. And I think that's kind of the goal. The goal is to find somebody who can really become a partner with you, as opposed to just, you know, somebody selling your movie for you.
Tell me about the poster, because I know that you guys didn't get to see the poster until after it was basically out there. How did that happen?
Yeah, the poster that's getting used for distribution was made by the company that picked up our movie. And, you know, we didn't, first of all, that we didn't know anything. We didn't even know our movie was on demand till, like, my brother called me. He said, hey, you know you're on demand? And we had no idea. We didn't even know the DVD release till one of the actors called me. He's seen it online. And luckily, it was a couple weeks before, so we could tell people, hey, the movie comes out October 18th. And it was the same thing with the poster. It was just, we knew the movie was coming out, so we were Googling our name every day, and then one day we just clicked on the link and there was the poster. it's pretty cool because I think it's a very well made poster, and it grabs a lot of attention. And you know, we love it, and so that's basically how that came about. It was made because a lot of times they ask you for stills from your set, and that whole poster is made from stills from our set. And another guy that was on our set taking pictures was a guy named Sid Graves, who's an awesome photographer. And I believe all the pictures in the poster were from him, I believe. So, you know, I guess they just mixed it all together and made a poster out of it. So.
Wow. So the communication is not quite there. They don't tell you these things ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody has different stories, but that's how it was in our case. Communication's just not there, and it kind of stinks because when you're on a low budget, you want to do whatever you can to sell the movie, and when you don't have a heads up on stuff, it's like, come on, I'm the person that's going to sell it more than anybody else, because you know we're the ones that care about it, and then we don't even have a heads up on dates and on. Now it was a little frustrating, but you know we got through it. You know, we're trying to make things better now, and because we, you know, we still feel like we still haven't even had our major release. We're looking at our digital release should be coming up within the next 2 months.
Okay.
So we're gonna do for it'll be ready for download and streaming. So we're hoping that that'll even be bigger than the other releases. You know, and we could go into this one knowing the date it's going to be released and actually be able to, you know, put some effort into advertising, you know, the way that we want to do it.
So if people want to find out more about how they can see your film, would they just go to your website?
Right now, you know, you can pick it up on Amazon.com and through our website. Our website has all the links. It's bewarethemovie.com has all the links. And Amazon has, like, used copies for, like, $5. So I always tell people, you know, if you want to see it there. But hopefully in the next month or two we'll have the digital download. But to keep up on everything on the movie, the Facebook is the best place. Either, you know, our fan page, like our fan page, or just join us on the other page. It's Beware the Movie, Facebook Beware the Movie. That's where we keep everybody posted on everything, you know, anything that's going on with production or any kind of reviews or anything like that. And we like to stay in touch with, you know, actors and stuff like that in the community. So when we have other auditions, we want everybody to know about it. You know, we want to be able to say, you know, because we're really big on, you know, people that are in our community that are really trying, you know, have their heart in it. We really like to kind of, you know, deal with the people that really have their heart in it and that are coming from the same area we are, you know, as opposed to just, you know, trying to find somebody in L.A. or something like that. We really like working with people that we consider our peers.
Right.
So, you know, keep in touch with us, you know, join us on Facebook and, you know, it's always
nice. Do you also have a personal website that you want to give to?
Yourself? Well, no, just that's the only ones is Beware the Movie. Bewarethemovie.com and then the Beware the Movie Facebook, you know.
Okay. And are you working on a project right now? A new project?
We're in pre-production of Beware 2. We're basically getting everything put together so that when we really go into it, we're ahead of the game. We've had so many requests for it that we really think it's the next thing to do to kind of build our foundation as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we feel like the first one, it deserves a second one, and we want to do it more on our terms. Not that the first one wasn't on our terms, but more, you know, we're more prepared this time and really put, you know, that little extra oomph into it that the movie even more so deserves, you know.
Mhm. Great. Okay. Well, I thank you for coming on the show today. Anything else before we leave that you want to tell directors that are out there?
Tell directors. I think the one thing that I always say is you just got to keep doing it. The only thing is when you put together a production is moving forward no matter what, solving the problems and moving forward, getting rid of the people on the set that aren't really gelling with the set. And no matter what the problem is, you just got to push forward or else, you know, you can't tell people you had this great movie that you were going to finish, but it didn't get finished because of this, this, and this. You know what? You deal with it and you move on and then you have a product. And that's what we did. You know, we weren't 100%, you know, it wasn't like we didn't have problems. We had a lot of the same ones that everybody deals with. And we just, I think the difference was, because I've been on sets where the movie never gets done or the movie never comes out. So the difference with us was we all had the drive to finish no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If something happened, we dealt with it and we pushed forward. And I think that's the best advice I could give, is you just got to keep pushing forward until something's done. You know, even if it's not the best thing you've ever made, you finished it. And, you know, that's what you do.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Jason, and when you get done with Beware 2, I can bring you back.
Cool. Thank you, Rachel. It was a pleasure finally getting to talk to you.
I know. We've been trying to do this for a little while.
Yeah, and we've just been missing each other. But thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Rachel. Bye.
Okay, well, we just talked to Jason Daly, and I know that I had a phone call coming in. Someone was trying to call in. I'm sorry, we were just running out of time, so really didn't have time to take a phone call, but I do appreciate you calling in. Maybe at some later time I can have a call-in show where people can call in and ask questions. I know that it's very impressive what he's done with Beware on such a low budget to have such the amount of success that he's had on it is unbelievable, and I definitely encourage you to go check out his website and rent the movie and, you know, take a look at it. And you can learn a lot from what he's been able to do on such a low budget, definitely. And keep in touch go on his website because he's doing Beware 2. So that'll come out soon. Okay, guys, like I said before, if you've missed any of my shows, you can always go back and listen to the archives of the many people that I've interviewed throughout the time here on Indie Streak. Also, check out our Facebook page. I now have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/IndieStreak. Okay, I'm posting mostly castings up on there. So if you're an actor and you're looking to get in the biz, you could find some castings that I'm putting up there. Also, I post some of these shows up there. Starting out slowly. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm trying to get a lot of likes on that page. So I really encourage people to go and like it, because the more likes I get, the more I'm going to be posting to that site. Also, I have a regular website, which is www.independentstreak.ning.com, which has a lot of filmmakers on there. Right now, the membership is closed, but you can still communicate with the people that are members. And also, I have reviews, blogs, information on events, that type of thing. I've been a little slow to post to that site, but I will be posting more soon, including information on, drumroll, that was a really bad drumroll, but Donald Trump is thinking about opening a movie studio in South Florida. If you haven't heard this, you've heard it here first. It's going to be down in Miami-Dade in Homestead. They've been looking at this property. They looked at it years before. Now he's looking at it again for a possible film studio. You know, he's always grandiose. He wants to be the biggest in the world. So that would be wonderful for South Florida. I am going to be getting additional information about this, which I will be putting on my website. So you definitely want to keep checking back because I will have that information soon, because that will be huge. Also, check out my other Blog Talk Radio site, which is Basics of the Biz, which is just me talking about the industry from my perspective as an actor. And what else have I missed here? Also, I'm going to be filming a sci-fi pilot called Absolution. They're actually filming now, and I'm part of the project. Check out the website for this. It's pretty impressive what they're doing. It's absolutionshow.com. And they don't have a whole lot up there yet, but hopefully they're going to be adding photos and everything because they are filming right now. And that is a ambitious sci-fi project that's a little bit kind of like in the Browncoats Redemption or Firefly realm. So fans of that show will like this web project a lot. So definitely check into that. But also just keep checking back to this show because I will be interviewing more people. Next week I am scheduled to interview Monique Carmona out in Los Angeles, who is an actress. She's also a director, and we're going to be talking about putting something together. And how do you put together a show? How do you put together a play? How do you get started on something like that? So, you know, check back. I don't have all of my notes of what I'm going to be asking her, but it will be an enlightening show, I am sure, with Monique, who is quite funny and quite talented, and I'm looking forward to interviewing her. Okay, guys, well, I thank you for tuning in today. And like I said, you can go back and you can listen to the show again. If you missed the website or any of the information that you want to check back, you can rewind it, so to speak, and listen to it at any time. And let your friends know about this show, please. I'm trying to get as many people listening as possible. That would be wonderful. Okay, thank you guys so much. And I will talk to you next week, Sunday, 1 p.m., same bat channel, same bat time. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.